Vishesham Shunyavadi Pasachala Shatarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Srila Prabhupada Lila Maitaki Jai Hare Krishna. We are in the chapter called London, A Dream Fulfilled. Not sure where on the page, but Prabhupada was pleased as his disciples record continued to be a hit in Europe. The Hare Krishna record is selling very nicely. Yesterday it sold 5,000 copies, and this week it is on the chronological list as 20. They say next week it will come to be 3, and after that it may become to 1. So they are very much hopeful of this record. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote to Satvarup in Boston. The Hare Krishna record is going on in England nicely, and I heard that in Australia it stands fourth on the list of 50 important records. Hare Krishna Mantra became the number one song in West Germany, number one in Czechoslovakia, and among the top 10 all over Europe and even in Japan. With the income from the record, the devotees began paying their bills and financing the renovations of the Bury Place temple. Sometimes the devotees would perform at concerts with professional groups, and sometimes they would receive invitations to appear in nightclubs. After one particularly late and nasty nightclub engagement, Yamuna went to Prabhupada and told him what the place had been like. Prabhupada called for all the devotees. These places, he explained, are not good for brahmacharis. The principle is that we have to make devotees, so we have to think where we are going. If we are going somewhere to preach, but we can't make any devotees there, what is the use? So we have to think like that. He said he wasn't forbidding them to preach in the nightclubs, but he told them to be careful. One of the devotees asked if showing slides of Krishna mixed in with psychedelic slides was permissible. Prabhupada said no. Krishna should be on a throne or on altar. If they watered Krishna consciousness down, it would become idol worship. Not since Prabhupada had first left India in 1965 had he preached to Indians as extensively as now. Indians would always attend his lectures, and even if they didn't dance and chant, they appreciated Krishna consciousness. Even before Prabhupada's arrival in England, a few Indians had stepped forward to help the devotees, and now the majority of Prabhupada's occasional guests at Tittenhurst were Indians. Bringing their families, they would sit and chat with Prabhupada, often inviting him to their homes for dinner. Kedarnath Gupta: Prabhupada agreed to come to our house. We received him with a warm welcome, and many other people also came to hear him. He was very much pleased to see that we had our family deities of Radha and Krishna given by my mother. And he commented, "I'm very much pleased to come to this place and see that Radha and Krishna are here." He gave a very nice lecture and told that the purpose of the human form of life is self-realization. He said one should be inquisitive to know who he is. All those assembled who had come to hear him were very much pleased and impressed by his lecture. After his lecture, I did the aarti and we offered a footstep to the deity. And then we distributed prasadam to everyone. Prabhupada took the prasadam, and he was very much pleased to take prasadam in our house. As he was leaving, I requested him, "When can I see you next?" He said, You can see me anytime you want. Sometimes there would be disagreements over philosophy, but Prabhupada's arguments were always convincing. The Indians were respectful to Prabhupada and repeatedly invited him to their homes. One of Britain's most prominent and respected Indians visited, Praful Patel, as did many businessmen with the means to help Prabhupada's mission, but few were willing to sacrifice. The second moon landing by American astronauts was scheduled for mid-November, only a few weeks after away. For months, the moon shots had received much press coverage, and Prabhupada would speak of them often. Almost a year ago in Los Angeles, he had answered a reporter's queries on the possibility of man's landing on the moon. Quote, "Just like we are going from one place to another by motor car or by airplane, this mechanical process will not help us go to the moon planet. The process is different, as described in the Vedic literature. One has to qualify. According to our literature, our information, it is not possible. In this body, we cannot go there." At Tittenhurst, Prabhupada often brought up the moon landing while talking with his disciples. "The moon landing was a hoax," he said one evening in his room. "For they cannot go to the moon. The moon planet, Chandraloka, is a residence of the demigods, higher beings than these drunkards and cow-eating slaughterers who are trying to inhabit it. You cannot think this travel is allowed, like when I migrated from India to the US. The moon planet cannot be visited so quickly. It is not possible." Srila Prabhupada's disciples accepted his statements. He was giving not simply his opinion, but a verdict of the Vedic scriptures. Because he accepted Vedic authority over modern science, so did his disciples, but not Purushottam. Detecting Purushottam's dubious mentality, Prabhupada would often joke lightly in Purushottam's presence. Someone would ask a question, "Where is Janaki?" And Prabhupada would reply, "Oh, Janaki has gone to the moon." Then everyone, except Purushottam, would laugh. The devotees knew of Purushottam's difficulty. He was an American and proud that the Americans were conquering space. And they knew that Prabhupada was joking about it. Purushottam was up on the latest scientific advancements. He was impressed by NASA's achievements and astronaut Neil Armstrong's giant step for mankind. Although Purushottam went on with his duties, he became sullen, and Prabhupada noted his lack of enthusiasm. One morning, Purushottam and Yamuna were together with Prabhupada in his room. Purushottam had several days' growth of beard and was wearing the same orange sweater he had slept in, whereas Yamuna was neat and clean. Although she had only two simple cotton saris, she would always put on a freshly washed and ironed one before going to see Prabhupada. Looking at his two servants, Prabhupada said, "Yamuna, you have so many saris. They are all so beautiful." Yamuna looked up to Prabhupada in surprise. "I don't have so many," said Prabhupada. "No," he said. "You are wearing a new piece of cloth every day. It's so nice. You're always looking so neat and clean. And you're tilak." "Purushottam, what do you think? Who do you think has the best tilak?" Purushottam didn't answer. "Beautiful tilak," Prabhupada said, "means beautiful person." About 6 o'clock that same evening, Yamuna was cooking puris and potatoes for Srila Prabhupada. When she heard him ring the servant's bell, leaving the ghee on the fire, she ran up to Prabhupada's quarters. He talked with her about the lecture he would give that evening and eventually asked, "When will prasadam be ready? Before the discourse?" "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, I am..." Yamuna smelled smoke. "Oh," she gasped. "Please, excuse me, Prabhupada, I've left some ghee on the fire." Rushing downstairs, she found the kitchen filled with black smoke. She couldn't see the stove. "Purushottam! Purushottam!" she cried. Purushottam arrived, and together they groped through the smoke. Somehow Purushottam extinguished the fire before it caused serious damage. Purushottam and Yamuna were covered with soot. Their faces were black, and Purushottam's orange sweater. His robes and Yamuna's sari were all blackened. Suddenly Prabhupada rang the servant's bell, and they both hurried upstairs to tell him about the fire. When Janaki returned downstairs and saw the mess, she ran upstairs to Prabhupada's room, where Yamuna and Purushottam stood still, covered with soot, before Srila Prabhupada. "What has happened here?" Janaki burst out. Prabhupada looked at her soberly and said, "Today Purushottam has gone to the moon." "What?" Janaki asked. Prabhupada repeated, "Yes, our Purushottam has gone to the moon." "Prabhupada," Purushottam said, "I'm a brahmachari. Why are you saying these things?" Being a brahmachari is no restriction from going to the moon. Anyone can go. Prabhupada said, winking. It's time for the DVD, is it? Yeah? What is it? You stop on a high note, or what you say? No? A little more. Okay. The devotees regularly encountered John and Yoko. Although originally interested in a business relationship, John was inclined toward the devotees, but his friends advised him not to get involved with the Swami and his group, so he remained aloof. Ishan Das, "I was in the kitchen working, and John was sitting at the piano." He had a piano in the kitchen, a great upright piano with all the varnish removed, bare wood. And in this way he was sitting at the piano, playing Hare Krishna. The man was actually a great musician, and he played Hare Krishna in every musical idiom you could think of. Bluegrass music, or classical music, or rock and roll, or whatever. He would go at will from one idiom to another, always singing Hare Krishna. It was so natural for him, and one could see that he was a musical genius. And in this way, he was entertaining me, and he was obviously really enjoying it. So anyway, while this piano playing was going on with great vigor and enthusiasm, this chanting Hare Krishna, his wife, Yoko Ono, appeared in a nightgown, and said in a very distressed tone, "Please, John, I have a terrible headache. Can't you stop that sort of thing and come upstairs with me?" George was different. He was drawn to Prabhupada. When one of the devotees had asked, "Why, out of all the Beatles, are you only you interested?" George had replied, "It's my karma. One of the things is in my sign is the spiritual side." George Harrison, Prabhupada just looked like I thought he would. I had a mixed feeling of fear and awe about meeting him. That's what I liked about later on, after meeting him more. I felt that he was just more like a friend. I felt relaxed. It was much better than at first, because I hadn't been able to tell what he was saying, and I wasn't sure if I was too worldly to even be there. But later I relaxed and felt much more at ease with him. And he was very warm towards me. He wouldn't talk differently to me than to anybody else. He was always just speaking about Krishna. And it was coincidental who happened to be there. Whenever you saw him, he would always be the same. It wasn't like one time he would tell you to chant Hare Krishna mantra, and then the next time say, "Oh no, I made a mistake." He was always the same. Seeing him was always a pleasure. Sometimes I would drop by thinking, "I wasn't planning to go, but I better go because I ought to." And I would always come away just feeling so good. I was conscious that he was taking a personal interest in me. It was always a pleasure. George was attracted to Krishna and he liked to chant. Even before meeting Prabhupada, he had learned something of Krishna from Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, from the autobiography of Paramahamsa Yogananda, and from traveling in India. But Prabhupada's instructions in particular impressed upon him that Lord Krishna was the absolute truth, the origin of everything. George. Prabhupada helped me to realize the multifaceted way to approach Krishna, like the prasadam, for example. I think it is a very important thing, prasadam. For even if it's only a trick. Like they say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, even if it's a way to a man's spirit soul, it works. Because there is nothing better than having here been dancing and singing, or just sitting and talking, and then suddenly they give you some food. It's like it's a blessing. And then, when you learn to touch him or taste him, it's important. Krishna is not limited. And just by Prabhupada's being there, and pouring out all this information, I was moved. It's like the mind is stubborn, but it's all Krishna. That's all you need to know. It's all Krishna. This world is his material energy too. The universal form. And in Prabhupada's books, there are these pictures showing Krishna in the heart of a dog and a cow and a human being. It helps you to realize that Krishna is within everybody. Although Prabhupada might have been teaching some higher aspect, what came true to me a lot was a greater understanding of how Krishna is everywhere and in everything. Prabhupada explained about the different aspects of Krishna, and he provided a meditation where you could see Krishna as a person everywhere. I mean, there isn't anything that isn't Krishna. Prabhupada saw George as a nice young boy and a devotee of Krishna. According to Bhagavatam, no matter what a person may be materially, if he is a non-devotee and never utters the holy name of God, he cannot possess any good qualities. Many swamis and yogis in India, even some who considered themselves Vaishnavas, had no faith in or understanding of the holy names of Krishna. But George liked to chant Hare Krishna, and he had put the holy name of Krishna in his songs, which were tremendously popular all over the world. So he was serving Krishna through his music, and that made all the difference. Mr. George Harrison appears to be a very intelligent boy, and he is, by the grace of Krishna, fortunate also. On the first day, he came to see me along with John Lennon, and we had talks about 2 hours. He wanted to talk with me more, but he has now gone to his sick mother in Liverpool. Srila Prabhupada Ki.